We're celebrating ladies this month. It's all about you. You know, last week was Mother's Day, and we just get to celebrate you guys again this month, right? You know what I say about Mother's Day? If you don't matter if you are a mother, not a mother, gonna be a mother, you all came from a mother, so we honor mothers and ladies because we're the only ones that can be. I mean, you can only, the females, even in our crazy society, women are still the only ones that give birth, okay? So we're celebrating women, all right? I did pick up something, and I know I'm a week late on this, but I picked up something that had, if you had one ad for a mother, a mom, or mama, that would be your position, and your job description would be long-term. It would be team players that would be needed for a challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. The ad would also say that candidates must possess excellent communication and organizational skills and be willing to work variable hours, which would include evenings, weekends, and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel would be required, including trips to primitive camping sites on rainy weekends and endless sports tournaments to faraway cities. Travel expenses would not be reimbursed, and extensive courier duties would also be required. Your responsibilities, the rest of your life. Must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until somebody needs $5. Must be willing to bite your tongue repeatedly. Also, you have to possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat, just in case this time the screams from the backyard are not somebody just crying wolf. You must be able to face stimulating technical challenges, such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck zippers. I know all of y'all, I'm feeling some qualified people in this place. You must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must have the ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. You must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment the next. Can I have an amen from anybody in that stage in life? Must handle assembly and product safety testing of 500,000 cheap plastic toys and battery-operated devices. Must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final and complete accountability for the quality of the end product. And responsibilities include floor maintenance and janitorial work throughout the facility. We got that one. The possibility of advancement and promotion? Virtually none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Your previous experience? None required, unfortunately. On-the-job training offered on a continually exhausting basis. And your wages and compensation? Get this, you pay them. The offering frequently raises and with offering frequent raises and bonuses, a balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, you give them whatever's left. The oddest thing about this reverse salary scheme is that you actually enjoy it and wish you could do it only more. The benefit is, while no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, and no stock options are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth, free hugs for life if you play your cards right. So moms, y'all are awesome, and as a lot of you have applied for this position and wouldn't trade it for the world, despite its ominous job requirement, right? All right, so we're celebrating just women in general. You know, all you ladies in this place do a lot of things. I am amazed at all the many things that you do. We all celebrate what awesome jobs that you do because God gave you specific things to do that I don't do the same things you don't, and the person sitting next to you does things different than you. Great, incredible hats that you get to wear. And we all have, a few of us have hats. Tea parties are about hats sometimes. You're either a friend, or maybe you're a daughter, maybe you're a girlfriend, you're a sister, you're a wife, you're a grandmother, You're probably a cook, a personal shopper, a teacher, a counselor, a career woman, an event planner, a student, a coach, an accountant, a chauffeur, a homemaker. There are many hats that you may wear. You know, I am going to attempt to do this. I know that I have a few hats to wear right now, and let's see if I can figure out how to best do this. I had this worked out. Let's see if this works, right? So I am a wife. I've been married for 24 years. And I am a mother. Actually, I should put 5 of these on because I have 5 girls. So that would be 5 different hats because believe you me, they're all different, right? I am a nurse, so I have a job. And I have one job, and then I had 2 jobs up until a couple weeks ago, so I had another hat at that job. And I work at the church. My husband pastors, so I'm a pastor's wife. And then on top of that, and I lead the music team. Okay, so this is not all my hats, but this is enough. That's all I can handle. How's that? All right, so I'm juggling a few hats sometimes. Whoops, that was it. I obviously can't juggle that many hats. You get the idea. I'm not going to try to put this back on again. I'll leave that one on for a few moments. So you all have hats, many hats. How many hats are you wearing? And I put a piece of paper on your table underneath the tray. Get a piece of the cardstock and your pen. And while I'm talking, I want you to write down all the hats that you wear. And there are a lot of them, if you really sit down and think about it. What roles are you playing in life? What are some things that are on your weekly calendar? What hat are you wearing? You know, some of you guys are homemakers, and that is a big hat. It's a very big hat. I will have to tell you this. I'm going to tell you a little story while you're writing that down. So I had been working from the home for a few years, and that job kind of played out. And I was wearing my sweats every day. I had my gown on all day. I didn't have to get dressed because I was working remotely on the computer. It was great. I never had to dress up, right? So I'm working, but it don't look like I'm going anywhere. So I get another job, and I have to put my uniform on. So I put my uniform on. I go to work. One morning, while I've already gone to work, my husband gets up and gets the kids going. And Heidi, my sweet darling over there, you want to wave? She asked her dad, she says, when are you going to get a real job? He said, excuse me, what do you mean? He said, you know, get up, put a uniform on, and go to work. When are you going to get a real job? So I got tickled because I had put on a different hat in her mind, and that equated to a real job because I had put on something other than just normal everyday clothes. I had assumed another hat. So as you're thinking, and the more things may come to your mind as I'm talking, all right, you have so many hats. Just start thinking about them. You know, maybe you're the cook and the chauffeur in your house, and maybe you're the provider. You know, you're the student. What all are you? But as you're looking at this list, I want you to look at it and see, are there any hats on my list that I'm not supposed to be wearing? You know, it's easy to get some hats put on your head. Has anybody went to see that you didn't even realize were on your head? They just kind of got put there. Has anybody went and saw Jungle Book yet? Mm-hmm. You remember that line in there? They talk about the little bird, the bird that goes and lays the egg in the other bird's nests, and the bird, is it a kookaburra. Listen there. Thank you. He's a huge bird, and he goes and lays it in the bird of another bird that's very small. And the bird doesn't know. It sits on it. It incubates it. It lets that bird be born, it hatches, it feeds it, and that bird is so much bigger than all the rest of the birds. He takes all the food to the other one, starve. The real mama's babies starve, and she's feeding somebody else's baby. The kookaburra is putting that job and responsibility on somebody else. Are there any hats on your list that maybe somebody put on you that you just don't even realize are there? And you're continuing to nurture it and take care of it, and it's causing you stress and hurt, but it's not really your hat. Somebody else put it on you. You know, the enemy will do that. He'll stick some stuff, some titles on you when you're not looking. He'll stick some, you know, he'll, that little word will come from somebody, you're worthless, you're not good at that, you're whatever it may be, and he puts a little hat on you, and you just wear it. It's not yours. You didn't put it there. God didn't put it there, so take off the hats that you're not supposed to be wearing. So are there any roles? You know, I told you I had two jobs. I took off a hat. I looked around, and it was a necessity at first when I took the job. But then I realized I was working two jobs, and I had no time. A lot of my responsibilities at home, a lot of my responsibilities in general were just not getting done, and I was stressed. It was a necessity at first. But then it went from a necessity to just being something that I felt obligated to do, because God had given me another job paying double that. But I felt obligated because it was my friend. But then I started realizing, God, I'm putting stress on me, and you're asking me to stop. I did it. My time had come up. I went from it being a necessity to it to being an obligation. Loved the job. In fact, my friend Angela still works there. Loved it. But it wasn't what God was asking me to do. I was wearing a hat out of obligation then, not out of necessity. There's some hats you can't take off. I will always be the mother of five girls. I'm not taking that hat off. So with these hats that I'm not taking off, then do I have them in the right order? Am I wearing my hats on the right order? You know, there's a very specific instructions about this in the Bible. It's Rachel's going to help me read from Matthew, but it's God first. He gives us order on how do we order our life. Matthew 6.
So then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, consistently chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from Him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself.
So if I put Him first and I seek Him first, then my priorities start to line up. And that stress that I'm feeling and all these hats and my neck is bobbling back and forth because I have all this weight of the world on my head, when I come into alignment with Him first, it orders the rest of my hats. Does that make sense to you? It orders. It gives me clarity. It gives me purpose. I don't have to worry. You know, I can sit here and stress and worry about all these, my kids, my responsibilities, my job, all this other stuff. If I don't have that first hat right, if I don't have Him first, then I'm out of sync. I'm out of step. My priorities become messed up, and I live in fret, worry, and distrust. Now, if I put God first, I have to then start, and this is really hard for us to do, I'll have to tell you this as a woman, is I have to come somewhat put me first, and not the me first that's all about me, but it's my spiritual growth first. After God, I have to plan for the fact that I need to grow in him. I need to be rooted and grounded in him. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. He knows I'm going to have to learn some things about him. But it's my responsibility to take on that and learn about him. There's so much to learn about him. You're never going to finish. You're never going to quit learning about who he is. I put him first, and then I come into, as Pastor was speaking to us today, if you were here today, we're talking about worship, and I have to come into a relationship with him in order to worship him. I need to put him first, and then I need to start next. I need to learn about who I put first in my life. I need to know him. I need to know what it is like to experience him. My spouse is next if you're married. Your spouse is next. Ephesians 5, love my spouse, honor him, submit him. Next would be my children, my godly, what God has entrusted to me, my children. And I can go on from there. The scripture actually says to honor my parents, and that's in my hat list. I'm honoring my parents that my days may be long. He also says to we are to encourage fellow believers. That's in my hat list. That's a part of who I am and my responsibility to encourage those around me, fellow believers. Another one of my hats and my responsibilities is to be a light to the world because we are to draw them into him. We'll talk about that again in a minute. Do I have my hats in the right order? And the next thing is how am I wearing my hat? How am I handling my current situations? You know, I'll have to tell you that I knew that this is what the Lord wanted us to talk about today. And have you ever had one of those weeks that you're like, really? I mean, really, God? I had one of those really God weeks. All right? By about Friday, I was like, this seriously? I had sick kids. Holly was in the ER Thursday night, been sick, missed the final, too sick to go to the final. I go on a field trip Friday, get some really, really, really God news on the way home Friday. I have company coming to my house. I got to pretend that everything is good and fine and get everything cleaned up and everybody's switched around and I got a sick kid crying, Mom, please don't leave me. But I have to go because I have to go discuss business with my family coming in. So I go do that. I take them to look at a house that we had wanted to buy 2 years ago, but it wasn't right. And now they allowed somebody to rent it and tear it up. And we went to go show them because my aunt is a flooring person. And she was going to tell us what we needed to do if we put a bid on this house. That's how much we walk in there. Would y'all believe my aunt, uncle, my husband, and I are standing there, fleas absolutely covered the whole bottom of us in this house because they had allowed a dog just to roam in and out. They had totally destroyed the house, the backyard, everything. What was a nice house is now pretty much a mess. So my guests have fleas all over them because I took them to a house that was flea infested. I didn't know that. So for the next hour, we pick fleas from them, from the car that we were in, their nice, nice car. So I'm like, really, really, what kind of a day do we have? I go home. I have to wash everything in the house. I have one sick kid. The next morning, I wake up, get going, still finishing my responsibilities. I had another set of company coming in, but they're going to be staying with me, so I'm working on that. So getting that all done, there's a point to this story. And then Heather calls me, Mom, I'm too sick. I got to come home. I can't go to work today. I'm like, really? Really, God? Really? I have not sat down, put a single thing on a piece of paper, 6:30 at night, Sunday night. I'm like, baby, I do not know what I'm going to do. I don't have time. And he said, well, you know what you're going to talk about. I said, yeah, I'm living it, okay? I'm living it. And that's when you want to say, really? Okay, God, I got this. Because he had been constantly talking to me about, in everything, give thanks. for this is the will of the Father towards you. So in everything, I had to stop and say, thank you, God. This is not the death of me. This is the you're working in our life. And for the moment, I will give you thanks because, God, you are good. The situation that I'm in don't look fun. It's not happy. It's nothing good that I can find in it, but you're good. So I have to continually look to you. And Philippians 4 and 11, did I have you read that one? Okay. In everything, in whatever state I'm in, I am to be content. Not grumbling, not complaining, not looking for another place to be at that moment, but content. So when I'm standing with fleas up and down my legs, I am to be content. Move out of that place, but be content. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That scripture has always struck me as, okay, so I'm looking for what is the will of God in my life? Give thanks in all circumstances. If you're looking for the will of God in your life, it's real simple. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's where it is. That is His will for me. In fact, the memory verse that you may have got the week before Mother's Day, remember the little packets that Jason gave us? You need to tell him thank you when you get a chance, when you see him at church. Thank you for all the sweet little things he does for us ladies. And he never gets to come. Ryan, I don't know if you're back there, but you know, you probably should switch that out occasionally and let Jason come. He gives us all our nice little packs. In the memory verse of Psalms 37, 4 and 5, did I give you that one? No. Yes. No. Okay. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. So every one of my hats that I'm wearing, my job, my mom, his wife, his friend, I commit that to Him. Commit everything I do to Him, and trust Him. That's a little bitty word that is so hard to do sometimes. Trust. What does trust mean? It means regardless of the outcome, I'm okay. Regardless of what happens when I give that to you, God, it's all right. I trust you. Because it says you have my best interest at heart. And I may not even see and understand my best interest, but you do. So I can trust you with that. And He will help you. He's not going to leave me alone. He's not going to say, well, girl, you got that one on your own. You got yourself in a mess. I will commit everything I do to God, trust Him, and He will help me. Psalms 23 and 1 says, you're very familiar, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And actually, Miss Rita is going to talk to you all about that come July 17th at 5:30, our next ladies thing. Miss Rita is going to talk to you about that. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I want. I will tell you, you know, David pretty much had this thing figured out. He trusted in God so completely. Can you imagine, the youngest usually got the job as being a shepherd boy, so he's out there. That's a lonely job, you know. You're out with a bunch of sheep, pretty much alone. Those years of being out there in the field with the sheep prepared him for his next in life. So maybe where you're at is not looking fun to you and you don't understand. But remember that there was a long process between anointing and kingship. But in that process, God made David. He taught him some stuff. You know, he killed the lion and the bear while he was taking care of the sheep. He learned how to use the weapon that he had. Because, see, then one day an appointment came with Goliath, and he had already practiced. And he learned to kill the little things in his life so that when the big opportunity that the whole nation saw, he was prepared. So where you're at in life, God's going to give you opportunities to prepare for your next. Because you are in, each one of you are in a unique field that I'm not in. I'm not in your life circle. I'm not in your friend group. I'm not necessarily in the same people you see day to day, your families, but you are. He has you in a training ground. So as I'm in this training ground and I'm keeping my handling my situations properly, I'm giving him thanks, putting him first, gratitude in everything that I do. Other people are watching. Go back to Colossians 3 and 17. Read that one for me.
Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you.
I love how the Passion says that. And I'm living in constant praise to him. Christ's example in Ephesians 5. Read verse 1 for me for Ephesians 5 from there.
Ephesians 5, 1. Follow God and imitate all he does in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters.
See, as I'm living my life out, giving thanks to him and for everything, being content in whatever state I am in, I am representing him to those that are around me. It's not all about me. It's all about him. So when I'm putting my hats in the right order, I'm wearing them properly and correctly, I'm actually shining a light toward him. It's showing, hey, I'm doing this because he is doing it through me and in me. This is not of my own willpower. I am constantly saying, in everything give thanks. In whatever state I am, I will be content because God, you are good. As God's daughters, because I am a royal, I am a princess. That's who I am. And you are a princess because that's who you are. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. As God's daughters, we have all of heaven's goodness at my fingertips. I mean, if you are a princess, right? Does a princess have everything that she wants at her fingertips? You have it. If I study the word salvation, we'll find that it means more than just having my sins forgiven. It includes all the blessings that were brought with me when Jesus died on the cross. I have healing, I have deliverance, I have protection, I have provision, I have peace. It's there. They were all given to me when I made him Lord, Savior, King of my life. My King made sure that I wasn't going to go through life without the tools that I needed to survive. I am going in decked from head to toe with his blessings. Psalms 5 and 12 says, surely, Lord, you will bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. I am surrounded with God's favor. He hasn't just lavished us with his blessing. He's actually given you a crown. So you are a real princess. What is man that you're mindful of him, David says, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with your glory and with your honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you've put everything under his feet. You're a princess. The crown is our identity as his princess, his children. When we were born again, he put his nature inside of you. That single act elevated you from a pauper to a princess. As soon as you acknowledged him as King and Lord, you immediately became a princess, his very own. It does more than give me a good self-image. It gives more than me just walking around and saying, I'm a princess. It gives us the revelation that we have the genuine presence and the glory of God reigning inside of me. It's more than enough. It's more than enough to make all fear of failure or lack of confidence just disappear. He is more than enough. I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am one of his own special people, that I can proclaim the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter tells us. See, the enemy likes to have distractions to my true identity. Keeps me juggling, taking off that hat, not my identity. I'm putting on another one because I feel more comfortable here and I'm not worthy of that one, so I'm going to put that one down. Or maybe I kind of halfway wear that one and then I put my little hat kind of over on top of my crown. Doesn't work out so well now, does it? The enemy tries to entice us to be just like everybody else, slowly letting go of my true identity, God's child, his princess. Remember, you're marked. You're born as a princess by salvation. So I'm marked. I'm born into royalty. I cannot be transformed to this world, but I am transformed. I can't be conformed to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. Why is it so important that I renew my mind? Why does it continually need to be reset? Because I can think my way and process my way right on out of who I am. So I have to hit reset and line myself back up. That's the reason I have to get my hats in the right order. God first, my spiritual growth and authority, and my spiritual growth. I've got to continually keep my mind reset and set. Gets me involved in the whole thinking process, doesn't it? You know, bad attitudes, misplaced priorities, the I deserve, that's not my problem. I can quickly pick those up instead of, God, I give you thanks in this situation. God, I can be your hands and feet to those that are around me. The opposite of the bad attitude, the I deserve, that's not my problem. Slowly, with each adjusted standard, our royal crown is being covered up and hidden to everybody around me. And I'm no longer a princess in disguise. The princess in disguise does not get the treatment that a princess that royally walks in the room and has all the authority. Why would you live beneath your means? Why would you walk around with sickness and fear and poverty and all that on you? Why are you living in disguise? You have health, deliverance, peace. You have all that. Why do we want to live in disguise of who you are? You're a princess. Walk in the dominion and authority that has been given to you. You're the light carrier in your world. Don't cover up your crown with useless hats, clouded perspectives, misplaced priorities. So today, let's, number one, check how many hats do I have on my head? How many roles, responsibilities am I carrying? And celebrate them. We get rid of the ones we are not supposed to have. The enemy snuck in, put some stuff on us that we're not supposed to be carrying anyway. Are you carrying fear around? Are you carrying around hurts, unforgiveness? Am I carrying around my past still? Take those off. God's already, remember, you're a princess. He redeemed all that. Now, are my hats and my responsibilities, my roles that I can't? I am a woman. I have a job. I have children. I am a wife. After I line them up and get him first, my spiritual growth place in a place of importance, remembering that I am a princess first. I am his. I wear them in the right order. Then I want to wear my hats with pride and purpose. And everything I give thanks, because Romans 8:28, God has a purpose in everything that he does. So when I'm wearing my responsibilities and my hats, I'm wearing them proudly, thankfully, seeing God in all of them, seeing God's blessing, his part that I'm playing in the kingdom of God. I'm playing it with pride, with dignity, with gratefulness. He promises not to put on me more than I can bear. So make sure I didn't put something on that he didn't give me. And he's given me all that I need to be victorious. He believes in you so much that he gave you everything you need to live out the life that he gave you. You're just worth it all, he said. So much so, he gave it all because you're worth it all. Let's bow our heads real quick. God, I thank you. I thank you that you love us so much, God. Not that we are deserving of anything, but God, you said, look, as your king, I desire to make you a princess. I desire to adopt you into royalty. You are mine and I'm yours, and I'm so glad to call you mine. God, tonight we're coming to you acknowledging the things in our lives, putting them in order of you first, God. Our walk with you, our relationship with you, our family, our friends that you've placed in our life, the things that are important. God, remove from our lives the things that have been snuck in that are not important at all, God. They just bring weight and they bring fear and they bring just stress in our lives, God. Help me to remove them. The things that are not necessary, God. And God, with my responsibilities and my roles, God, help me to be thankful and to see you in all things, to give you thanks, to place you, to see you in all things, God. To no matter what the situation, be able to say, God, that you are good and that I can trust you completely and totally. Now, God, help me to embrace the identity that you've given me, not to cover it up, not to live beneath my means, but God, to embrace all your blessings, to embrace all of the privileges of being a princess, God. And God, as I'm embracing this privilege, God, help the light that you've placed in me to be able to shine out to those around me. I am your living example of who you are and your goodness and your mercy and your grace. So God, as we leave this house tonight, help us, God, to be the princesses that you called us to be, to the people that we live, our group of friends, our group of coworkers, our families, God, to be the example, the living example of Christ. God, I pray and I thank you for each one of the ladies here today, God. They are incredibly awesome ladies. Women of God, princesses that you've chosen, God. You see us as worth it all, God. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. And we pray all these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.